Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Amen. How many of you had a wonderful holiday? Did you set your scale back? It's kind of like setting your clock back, right? Give yourself grace. We have eaten so well the last few days. And Pastor Simone, yes, lots of food. So we all had food babies. Yeah, I appreciate this time of year and I'm thankful for all of you that weren't able to make it out on Wednesday night and hear me say thank you. I just want to say thank you. Every day should be a day of gratitude, right? I am so thankful for all of you and for the Lord. I want to look at this blessing and battle seed this morning from Deuteronomy 28:12. I love pulling battle seed promises out of Deuteronomy 28 because in there, if you look at it, there's two sections. There's everything that was under the curse of sin and everything that would come upon people that didn't obey and honor God. This is before Jesus and his blood and his redemption and all of that and him removing the curse from our life. And so I like to look at it quite often and say, without Jesus, this would be my lot in life. And I want to encourage you to do that. Like, your eyes will pop open and say, you'll be thanking God all the way down as you read through all the curse consequences. But I also like to look at all of the blessings, because these are what are ours, not because of our perfect behavior, but because of Jesus' perfect behavior. And I tell you, you should erupt with gratitude every time you read it. But I love this one, Deuteronomy 28:12. You know, nothing comes into our life without faith. Even though it's ours, we've got to employ faith to get it. The Lord says this, the Lord will open his storehouse where he keeps his rich blessings. He will send rain at the right time for your land. He will bless everything you do. How many of you believe that he will bless everything you do? The right stuff you do. Well, he don't bless the wrong stuff, okay? And then it says, you will have money to lend to many nations. He's talking about his people. But I believe this. We should be the lender and not the borrower. Because that's what God's word says. If you don't believe it, you'll continue to be the borrower. And I'm really believing that God's people will get, they'll elevate mentally and wealth in the wealth realm to the degree that they can lend and not have to be subservient as a borrower. And he says, and you will not need to borrow anything from them. How many of you believing for debt cancellation? To really live debt free. And, you know, there's this whole mindset that we can grow rich by leveraging debt. Well, America has had that mindset. Guess what? We're in debt to people that don't really care about us right now very much. And I believe that God's people can change that, right? We just have to think different. We have to have a different mindset. The question is, who set your mind? Who's setting your mind? Is it the world or is it God's word? And so I have had to be transformed in this area of my thinking. I've had debt just like everyone else. Debt for cars, debt for houses, debt for all of that. But before I was debt free, and I will be very shortly, I have no credit card debt, no car debt, and the house debt's almost done. I really believe that because of the mindset shift I had while I was working it down, I won't ever be in it again. And I want that for you guys. I want you to buy your next properties. I want you to buy your next house, your next car, all of that debt-free. And I believe you have to start somewhere. And this battle seed, I believe, is faith being released for that to happen in your life. Amen? How many of you will believe with me for that? God will open his storehouse and bless everything you do because you love and obey him. And I'm just going to throw in there and you will live debt-free. All right? Let's stand up and let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for challenging us. I thank you for loving us so much that you want your best for our life. You want us to be healthy, wealthy, wise, strong in every area of our life. And so we release faith for this word today, that in this season, every right thing we do is being blessed by you. In Jesus' name, amen. That is our very own Monique Richardson that you were just listening to. Look her up and get her album. She led worship this morning. Wasn't that wonderful? So proud of her. And also, she started a tutoring service. So if you know anyone that needs a great teacher to tutor their students, look her up. And so proud of the entrepreneurial spirit that's in this house. Yeah? Good. Very good. All right. Father, we ask now that you would just implant the word deep into our hearts as we review and as we look at this, that you encourage us, inspire us, and help us, Lord, to bear much fruit for your glory in Jesus' name. Okay, so I began to review this teaching on being unshakable, and last week, for many of you, were here. Today, I'm going to do a part two because I wasn't able to finish it, and I just wanted to come back to it. I believe that God is, like I said last week, commending you. Many of you have stood through some very difficult situations over the last few years, I being right there with you, and you're still standing, and you still love God, and your faith is stronger, and you're going forward. And I've seen this word being lived out in your life. I've seen you feel the shaking, but not being shook. Not being shook out of your position or out of your faith. And so I began last week by saying that the meaning of unshaken faith, this is part two of this sermon, means you still have faith although your beliefs have been attacked or challenged. And so God is saying good job to you. He's saying I'm proud of you. And he's letting you know again who you are, whose you are, and what season you're in. And it is a season of shaking. And we're seeing many things shook. The economic system is being shook. Our government is being shook. We see the church even shaking. And so as I reviewed last week, the church is not these four walls. It's not the structures that we inhabit, even though we call it the church. These are just buildings. We are the church. And if all these buildings fall down or someone tries to come and close all these buildings, they cannot close us. They cannot shut us up because the church isn't made of wood and brick and hay and gold and silver and all of these things. They may be part of the material that is in the house, but they are not what gives us our strength or our significance or our value or our identity. Jesus Christ is the one that does that. And so I went through these four things that are unshakable, and today I want to come back to the church of God. Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So in other words, there's going to be an attempt by the enemy to prevail against you as the church. Paul, he began to tell them, look, who am I? Who is Apollos? Because they were competing and comparing all of these leaders, which we as humans tend to do. We tend to idolize leaders. We tend to, you know, promote celebrities that we can idolize and follow. And it's great to respect authority. It's amazing and it's God-honoring to be teachable and take leadership from those whom he's appointed. But Paul was humbling himself and saying, look, don't get caught up in a leader because we're human. We're all just using our gifts alongside everyone else. And Some of us get to sow for a season and pour into you and plant the word of God into you. And then God will transition you somewhere else. And that seed that I planted will be watered by someone else. And we're all doing this together. Whether I'm the one that planted or I'm the one that watered, we're all using everything that we have to co-labor with God to build his church. And it will not be shook. It will not fall apart. Leaders will come and leaders will go. And one of the most disappointing things as a leader is to watch other leaders trying to lead without being led. Well, I need my B3 Hammond up here, somebody, you know. But no, truly, that's the most scary thing that you could ever align your life with, is a leader that who is not being led by the Holy Spirit. And we've seen leaders that are being led by money, being led by influence, being led by whatever it is. And when the pressure comes, the leader collapses, and then we see all this collateral damage. And yet, even though there's been church hurt, and even though there's been all kinds of problems, and we see many of these systems that weren't built on the foundation of Jesus Christ apparently collapsing, I want you to know this. There is still a remnant whose lives have been built properly upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, and they are not shook. And whether the leader collapses or somebody else disappoints them, whether the pew was full or it's empty, they are not in it for anything else but Jesus Christ. They are not in it. They're not following a religious organization, because the religious organization is not the church's foundation. It's Jesus Christ. The government is not the church's foundation. It's Jesus Christ. Money and financial institutions are not the church's foundation. It's Jesus Christ. Man's personal efforts, buildings, titles, positions, apostles, leaders, they are not the church's foundation. It's Jesus Christ. And there are many people that profess to be part of an organization called the church, and still they shake when faced with the death of a person, closure of an organization, the fall of a spiritual leader. Why? Because they built their lives on religion instead of a stable personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our great God. He rules the universe. His word will never be shook out of it. It will remain. It will still be here after everything is dead and gone. And I'm telling you, those who have his word implanted in them and are building their life upon the solid foundation of his word will not be shook when the winds and the rain and the adversity and the storms come. Because Jesus said, you can build your life on shifting sand or you can build it upon me. And where you stand after it's all shook will be determined by who you choose to build your life upon. Amen. You can clap for Jesus. Amen. I want you to know this. Buildings can burn and be destroyed. Financial institutions and governments can and will crumble. Organizations will shut. People will fail. People will fall. But God says his people can fall 7 times and still they will arise, because he will get them up and he will help them get the job done. God's church cannot be stopped or shaken by any of these things, because our foundation is Jesus, and he's not fallen off of his throne. He is unshakable. He is unbreakable. He is indestructible. He is eternally victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and so are you. Because as he is in this world, so are you. I believe there is a difference between a professing Christian and a possessing Christian. When you allow Jesus Christ to possess you mind, body, and soul, and you take hold of him, nothing can shake you or destroy you, because he is your foundation. You say, well, Pastor Verna, I've seen people die. You know, they were destroyed. No, they weren't. Jesus said it's appointed unto man to once to die. That was never his plan. But because of sin now, we have an appointment with death. The body does. But we don't die. That's why Mama Cha could look at me while she is transitioning with colon cancer in her body and say, honey, colon cancer is not killing me. Colon cancer is in my body, but colon cancer can't kill me. I'm more than a body. And if I live, I live. And if I die, I live. I'll see you on the other side. Honey, I'm victorious no matter what's going on. Amen? And so that's what the Lord wanted me to remind you, is that we see the death of the body going on all around us. But those of us who know Jesus, we will never see the second death, what the Bible calls the second death. What is second death? That's eternal separation from God. That's the worst kind of death you could ever experience. The body will experience death. We're going to wrap this tent up. We're going to pack it down one day. And when we do, the Bible says to be absent from that body, that tent, that house, is to be present with the Lord. And as I reminded you last week, you are not the body that you look at in the mirror. That's your house. Keep it. Take care of it. The Bible says it's the temple of the living God. But it's not God. You know? It's the temple where he chooses to reside in your spirit. And it's time for us to stir our spirit up and keep it strong. The Bible says a strong spirit of a man will sustain him in times of adversity. But who can endure or bear a broken spirit? And the enemy has been trying to break your spirit. And I want to encourage you that your spirit is indestructible. But it's up to you to maintain it. It is up to you to keep it full of the power of God. To keep it strong and stirred up and fervent. And don't let anything or anyone quench your spirit. Right? Keep it strong. So the fourth thing that I really wasn't able to get into all the scriptures on is the child of God, and that's you. You're the child of God. I was watching a movie recently, and the guy is going through all kinds of problems, and his coach is trying to help him to, you know, get down into the core of himself and actually find who he is. He's such a man pleaser, and he has like approval addiction, and he's got all these things going on in his life, and he doesn't know who he is. He's working to get man's approval, and he's got greatness inside of him, and when he doesn't get it, he tanks. And when he's not able to achieve the things that he thinks bring him value and significance, he tanks. And his coach says to him, who are you if all of this goes away? Who are you apart from your parents? Who are you apart from your business? Who are you apart from your career? Who are you apart from all of these things? And he couldn't answer. And that's the great tragedy of many in our generation. They don't know who they are apart from all of these things. And unfortunately, there are many leaders who stand in so-called pulpits and try to lead other people in wellness and wholeness, and they don't know who they are apart from the platform or the pulpit or whatever else they've got that God has blessed them with to get the message out. And I want you to know something. You're going to survive even if I drop dead right now. You know why? Because I'm not the one who determines your significance or your value. This thing will outlive me. You've got to build something so strong with your family and your life that when you're gone, it's going to outlive you. God's wanting you to build a legacy right now of godliness and strength that the next generation can pick up. But their limitations are going to be determined by what you expose them to. And I want you to know that it's your responsibility to expose them to our great God, who will never be destroyed, who is indestructible, and let him be seen in every day of your life as a living witness that you can survive whatever the devil throws at you, and you will emerge victorious because of what Christ did for you at the cross. Amen. Yes, and you are the child of God. Jesus said this about them, and this is point B in John 10, 27 through 29. The sheep, we're referred to as sheep. The sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never, like this, never, ever, by any means perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater and mightier than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. When you know that, you will never be insecure. Ever. This is how you heal insecurity. Insecurity in the soul is like fractures in the foundation of a great house. And God is wanting to shore you up that you are secure You are safe. You are solid. You are in his hands. And when Jesus said, no, nothing will ever, never, never, ever, by any means, cause you to perish, he means that. He's not a man that he should lie. And so by your relationship with Jesus Christ, you have become a child of God. And here's the four things that can never be shook. You are a child of God, and they're out of order. Number four, who can come boldly before his throne of grace. The throne will never be shook. You can come there to an unshakable place and receive grace and mercy in your time of need. Number one, you're a recipient or an heir to every promise in his word. Right? So you're a child of God. You're a recipient. Number two, you're a member of his church, unshakable, against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. And by faith, you are a part of each of these things, each of these unshakable things on the earth. And that should make you want to shout hallelujah. Don't forget who you are. This man couldn't answer who he was. Eventually in the movie, he was able to answer that question, but he had to go on a journey. And look, we've got people, and I've just been thinking a lot lately about the different sects and groups within the body of Christ. Some of us call ourselves the prophetic group, the charismatic group, the conservative group, the Pentecostal group, the Calvinistic group, this group and that group and all of these groups. And some of them have gotten so deep that they're in deep doo-doo. Some of them have gotten so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Some of them have gotten so weird that people can't even understand what they're saying. Church has become this big, well, the so-called church has become this big convoluted thing. And it's not rocket science. It shouldn't be confusing and hard. We believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And the Spirit of God will give us understanding and revelation and clarity. But if we don't know who we are as a child of God, these are the basics. We're going to go out and try to represent God as a prophet and try to speak things from God, and it's going to be cloudy and convoluted, and we're going to be doing it so that people will look at us as superstars or whatever and make a mess of things. And we've seen too much of that. And we don't want to shut down any of that because all of it was God-given and it's good. But God's wanting stability in this hour. He's wanting stability because how many of you have received some life-altering word from somebody who you can't find them right now? Just raise your hand. Like, who are they? Where did they go? We've had too much of that. And God is bringing stability to his bride right now and to his church. And he's saying, look, who are you apart from your prophetic office? Who are you apart from the apostolic office? Who are you apart from all of these things that you do for me? Who are you? Because everything that you do in that position is going to be challenged by an adversarial environment and people right now that want to shut your voice, that want to kill his voice in the earth realm. And if you don't know who you are and who you're doing it for, and you don't know what your why is and your yes and all of that, you won't be here. Yeah? And you got to understand, no one can snatch you out of his hand. No one. You're secure in him. But get that rock solid. When people come against you, some people can't even survive a Facebook critic. Yeah? God is saying, who are you? I've given you a voice. I want you to use it, not in a way that beats people up, but in a way that calls them up. There's a hurting generation out there who's seeking admiration and notoriety and acceptance and all of the things that I give you. And they're seeking it apart from me. Take one look at their social media and you'll see. And I'm I'm asking you to be my ambassadors in this hour. I'm asking you to represent me well. I'm asking you to show them what it looks like to stay true to me amidst a generation that is adversarial to your faith. The title of this message is Unshaken Faith. But if you don't know how to stay true and unshook as a child of God, your faith is going to be targeted by the enemy. It's going to be targeted by all kinds of things. And you make up your mind right now that no devil in hell can shake you out of God's hand. Whether people like you, they applaud you, they celebrate you or not, you are an unshakable one. So, Jesus and Daddy God are not a combo with which to trifle. Both have their hand upon your life, and no devil in hell, death, or threatening and traumatic event can shake you loose and separate you from his love. I love Romans 8:38, and these are basic scriptures. If you go and read Romans 8 in the message, you will, if you don't shout, something's wrong with your heart. Something's wrong with it. And you know what? I encourage you to bring it to the Lord. Because what happens when trauma occurs is there's a wound, and after wounds, there's scars, and scars generally have calluses or, you know, we call it scar tissue. A hardness sets in. But I believe when God heals our heart, that he keeps our heart pliable, and he keeps our heart soft, and he keeps our heart tender. And I always know I'm in trouble when I can hear a message on the love of God and I feel nothing. Nothing. And I'm intentional. I'm like, Lord, something's going on in there. If I can no longer respond and soften in and lean into your love, like Paul did, and encourage others out of that place where I know I'm genuinely loved and there's nothing that can separate me from it, something's wrong with my heart. And lately, I have friends that ask me, how's your heart? And I love that because we need to be checking our heart. The Bible says, take care of your heart, for out of it flows all the issues of life. And this past season, I know I'm not the only one. There were times I would see things that I should have said, praise the Lord. You know, thank you, Lord, for that. And I saw it and I was just like, yeah, whatever. I mean, when you're hurting, we can get to that place of apathy. And the Lord is removing all of that. He's tenderizing our heart. He's healing our heart. But he's also saying, look, you can be soft and bold as a lion. You can be soft with me and not soft with sin. You can be strong in me and powerful and still have a tender heart toward the things, the things of the kingdom and me. And Paul, he goes and he lists all these things in Romans 8. And I love the message because it's so ghetto and it just resounds, you know, it resonates with me. But he talks about all the things that he's been through. And in the Amplified, it's a little more, what is the word I'm using? Never mind, I don't find it right now, so we'll just go forward. He says, for I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present and threatening nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. And he goes in there and he lists all the things. Nothing can separate us from all these things. And he lists all the spiritual things, all the places in the demonic realm and the heavenly realm. But he's talking about being shipwrecked, being beaten, being persecuted, being left for dead. All of these antagonistic things. And then he says, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. I'm so glad he threw that in there. Because when we are under pressure, let me tell you, if you think you've overcome a sin in your life, when you're under pressure, it will come to the surface. Don't leave me hanging out here by myself. How many of you can say, you've seen some things come to the surface in the last year that has shocked you? Come on, act like bobbleheads at the flea market. Some of you more self-righteous ones, I'm not picking on anybody in this room, but it's like, oh no, I don't sin anymore. My poop don't stink. I do everything right. You know, those are the people that attack us on Facebook, right? And anyways, I'm telling you that you will discover things. You will discover things about yourself when you're under pressure. And if you don't understand that that sin principle, that law of sin and death, is something we will battle until the day we see Jesus, but he's already overcome the law of sin and death for us, that our case is closed. The devil's going to try to come and open the case against you in your own life. If it's not by someone else who's accusing you, it will be the voice of the accuser himself. And if you don't know who you are and you're not solid in the love of God and you don't understand that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and there never will be for the rest of your life until you see him face to face, and that you're solid and you're secure in his love, you'll spend more time than you should beating yourself up on a day when the enemy's trying to open a case against you in the courts of heaven, and the Lord's advocate, the judge, is looking and saying, wait a minute, that case is closed. We don't even have it here. We're not dealing with that today. The day that Jesus died on the cross, I took my gavel and I went, case closed, done. And so you got to understand that there's nothing that you've done, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture, that can shake you out of your position with God. You're a child of God. You live according to the law of the Spirit of life. The Spirit of love and life, and there's still a calling on your life, and you may have felt weak and wobbly, but God isn't weak and wobbly. He's not weary. He's not distracted. He's not uncommitted, even though there's been times that you have felt so. He's not going to drop you. He's unshakable. He's committed. He's faithful, even when you and others aren't. And Timothy was Paul's protege, and he told him this: if we are faithless — he shouldn't have said if in my book, he should have said when we are faithless — he remains faithful and true to his word and his righteous character, and because he cannot deny himself. I love that. And he goes on and he says to Timothy, look, there's going to be times, Timothy, when people are going to despise you for your youth. They're going to despise you for the stand that you take. He sent Timothy to an area where it was steeped in witchcraft, steeped in sorcery and all of these things. And he's young. And he's anointed, and he's been trained, and he's had a wise mentor. And you can imagine the letters that went back and forth between Timothy and Paul. Get me out of here. These people don't respect me because of my age, whatever. And Paul is writing to him, and he's telling Timothy something. He's saying, don't even quit. Don't you dare even think about it. Because when, and all of us, when we're faithless sometimes, and it will happen, just remember who's inside of you. He will never deny himself. He knows who he is inside of you, even when you don't know who he is. And you don't know who you are in him. But he's going to be faithful to you to the end. So remember Jesus, the Word, the one inside of you. He's upholding, maintaining, and carrying you to his, I love this, his predetermined destiny for your life. Many people say, I don't believe in destiny. Well, you don't believe in God if you don't believe in destiny. Because God has a destiny for you. He has a destination for you. And it's him. And the journey along the way is going to be hard. The journey is going to be difficult. It's going to be riddled with all kinds of persecution, all kinds of trials. Jesus pulled no punches with his disciples, and he didn't promise them that they would have an easy road. He said, in this world, you're going to have it, Sarah. You're going to have trials and tribulation. There's going to be things that happen that break your heart. People will forsake you. Sometimes it's for the right reasons, sometimes it's not. There's going to be all kinds of things that happen on your journey. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That means everything that happens along the way, I've already overcome it. Not I will overcome it. It's not something you're waiting for. It's already been accomplished. And the writer of Hebrews, some say it was Paul who wrote Hebrews, and I tend to agree with them, but they said this: the Son, Jesus, the Word, is the radiance and only expression of the glory of our awesome God, reflecting God's Shekinah glory, the light being the brilliant light of the divine and the exact representation and perfect imprint of his Father's essence. You want to know how your daddy feels about you? Just listen to Jesus. Look at Jesus. And it's, I love this part, and this is what I'm trying to pull out of the Scripture. It says, and upholding and maintaining and propelling. Upholding, maintaining, and propelling all things, the entire physical and spiritual universe, by his powerful word. By what? His powerful word. Carrying the universe along to its predetermined goal. And I wanted to pull that out today because many of you have felt stuck. And I want you to see that. God is upholding in that strong hand that you could never be shook out of. You and the entire universe. And he's maintaining you. And he is propelling you. And there is a predetermined goal that he has set for your life. And he's going to get the job done. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, to carry you and everything he has determined for your life to its completion. So you can trust your dreams, Gardenia. You can trust your entire person to him, Pastor Tony and Mother Didi. You can entrust him. And you can be sure that he will guard you until the day you stand before him. Paul told Timothy this, and I'm going to end with some of these scriptures. This is why I suffer as I do. Still, I am not ashamed. He's telling him, after everything I've gone through, how many of you have watched someone suffer and you're like, you want to save them from all that. You want to rescue from all of them from all of that. And many of you had questions about someone else's suffering. If God is good, how could that happen to them? Raise your hand if you've had that. When my mother went through what she went through, I never heard my mother swear. Maybe she did in her early years because she had a past. But I can say that I never, one day of my life, heard my mother swear. I never saw her get angry and blow up on anyone. She corrected us, and she did it sometimes with a mother boldness, but it was never an aggression where we felt afraid of her. I was never afraid of my mother. I felt safe. I felt secure. I felt prayed for. I felt loved. I watched her hand out Bibles all over this city. I watched her go into places that would scare most of us. And she went in there full of the love of God and leaking it everywhere. And she was so secure in the love of God that she knew, I can go anywhere in this world. And when God says it's over, it's over. But it ain't over until he says it's over. I watched her go to India when the bubonic plague broke out and people were dropping dead. This is before COVID, and they shut it down and said, no one, you know, other countries, we encourage you not to come here, not to travel into here. And Mother says, I hear the call to go now, now more than ever. And we were scared for her. Like, no, Mama, don't go. I mean, people were dying, you know, and our faith was just like, no, we had none. And she's like, honey, I hear the call of God to go because I'm packing the power of God. And these people need the power of God more than ever right now. And this is time for me to stand up. And if I die, I die. If I live, if I die, I live. If I live, I live. It's like she just lived with this rock solid belief that she could do something to change the lives of people who were in hurting situations. And she was fearless. And she was the most faithful person I have ever known on this planet besides Mother Didi. And I'm still trying to grow up and be like her. Okay? But when her body had cancer in it, I wrestled with how great God is, how faithful he is, how willing I was to take the baton and continue to preach a message of faith, watching someone that I loved, that loved him, that I saw, I felt like did things right, suffer in their body and die of a disease that the Bible says Jesus can heal. Am I talking to anybody in here this morning? And I mean, I saw unshakable faith right to the very last second at 1:11 when she said, honey, help me go. Help me, help me. And she said hello to Jesus. And I literally watched her do it. And it wasn't, she told me, it's not cancer that's taking me, it's Jesus. He'll be here any minute. He just watched, you'll see, right? But we struggle. We struggle with these things. And I really believe many in the body of Christ are struggling right now with, you know, why isn't COVID out of the world? Where's this Jesus, the healer? Where's this Jesus, the financial miracle worker? Where's this Jesus? And I can tell you this, he's still here, and he's about to show up in you and show out in you, and he's still worthy of your faith. He's worthy of your faith. I love Pastor Simone's song called Unshakable. And Jesus said this, the government may be shaking, Melanie, but my hand isn't. I've got you. Yeah? Matt, the Lord says to you, there may be some shaking going on in your family, but my hand isn't shaking. And I got you. And I got him. I got them. I'm not going to point anyone else out, but many of you, the Lord says, your health, your marriage, your business, a lot of things are shaking, but my hand isn't. I got you. I got what's important to you. This earth is shaking. There's many places that are being ravaged right now. There's turmoil in the earth. There's disease. There's death. There's terrorism. But my hand isn't shaking. Go ahead and stand to your feet. I got you. I got you. I got you. You're in my hand. Some of you have been questioning, God, if I'm in your hand, why is this happening? Why is this happening? I'm sure Job felt like that when disease touched his body. But Job knew something that his wife didn't. She said, curse God and die. And Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The scriptures show that because of sin, the body can be touched, but the spirit of the believer cannot. And I want you to know this. He still heals. I don't understand why everybody isn't healed, but I want you to know he's still the healer. Stand in faith for that. He's still the miracle worker. Stand in faith for that. But determine in your spirit whether I see it or I don't. I will be an unshakable one. My faith, my family, my body, my house, my car, anything else may be shook. But after it all shakes, my spirit will still be standing strong, held secure in the palm of the God who loves me. And he is going to carry me, he is going to maintain me, and he is going to propel me to my God-given destiny. And I will not quit him, no matter what comes. Amen? Father, I thank you for those who are listening now and that will listen later in the archive. I thank you that your spirit is eternal, and it's as anointed and alive as it is right now when this message is going forth, because you are eternal and you are the Messiah, the anointed one who will never, ever die. Your anointing will flow. There's no distance in the spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that you're putting marriages back together. I thank you, Lord, that you're shifting governments. You're removing those that will be a detriment to us. And you're preparing those. You have them waiting in the wings that you're about to reposition. I thank you that we're in a season of realignment. I thank you for every person and thing that is destructive that has dropped off of our life. I thank you, Lord, for the repositioning of people and resources that are coming in this system, in this season, that you are putting in place for our benefit. We thank you for your best pick in this hour. We thank you that you're always looking out for our best interests. And we thank you most of all for eternal life. We determine today to stand in faith. And every person under the sound of my voice, I want you to say this. Jesus is Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you all.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You can also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.